Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, sir. Second Corinthians 11. The entire process, or it's not even a process, the entire mystery of walking in the Spirit is to never leave His faithfulness, no matter what anything looks like. Now, you know, if I would have been God, I wouldn't have designed this whole damn system like it is. I mean, it's just as goofy. Why would God have to make suffering such an integral part of the fulfillment of His mystery? And why is us, when we are experiencing something we don't like, why is our response immediately anger or complaining? Or and the reason is the mystery of the meaning of obedience. And I can't emphasize that more any more than would be. You cannot overemphasize the mystery of obedience. In our language, in our mind, obedience is somebody tells you to do something and you go do it. But that's not obedience. That's robotics. True obedience, the obedience that God, the reason that God made heaven and earth, is so that you would do what He wants you to without Him telling you. And that it's what we would call obedience is really simply love. And that everything about what we experience is based on that. Well, and how can affliction and suffering, how is that evidence of love? It is the only way that the curse can be overcome. The only way to know His faithfulness is to refuse to lean on your own arm of understanding, to refuse to let anger or anything rise up within your heart, but that you know that He is in total control and you're walking in the moment-by-moment dependence, no matter what it seems, because that's the only way you can be transformed so that you will be what He wants and do what will fulfill you in love. That's why that mysterious phrase in the Old Testament, whenever it talks about obedience, is hearing under, hearing under, hearing under. I couldn't sleep last night, and I watched religious television, and it just made me crazy again. Because they're always, everything is a how-to. This is how you do it. This is how you do it, especially that idiot Paula White. And I don't care if she's listening. I think she's demon-possessed.
Absolutely. She's a witch. Absolutely.
I mean, there is absolutely nothing that she says that is spiritual. But it sounds spiritual. It's a queen of Babylon teaching you how to, how to, how to. And yet she's doing it in the name of God. There are no how-tos. There's only abandonment and dependence. 24 hours a day. It never stops. It cannot leave your consciousness. And the only way that can happen is for you to know the emptiness of all other solutions. And until you know that in any arena of your life, your thought process is cursed, you will always try to find a how-to. What shall I do about this? And then God has to become your enemy. He may not be your total enemy because it's long-suffering. He's just doing things enough so that you can't get what you want. He's just playing you. He's keeping you tied so that you can't run away. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about, or am I babbling? But this constant reliance and say, well, this is what I think, and this is how I should handle this, and this is what I should do about that. That is the exact 180 degree antithesis of obedience. Why then? Why is weakness? Why is affliction gloried in by Paul? Let's see if we can figure it out. Go to 2 Corinthians. I said that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 11. Verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now what he's doing here in that strange sentence is he's ending up, he's really praying for false teachers. And if you read the entire verse or chapter, you'll understand it. But don't do it now. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The point of it is transforming themselves by learning different patterns of behavior for the cursed being, so that you're a better actress, a better actor. And it's despising in the nostrils of God. What has to come forth is the new creation. Not some bettered being that is cursed. All that you can possibly be now is a vessel. And your weakness and affliction is there to remind you of that constantly, instead of going back and relying on your own arm of understanding at every... I saw a little incident this morning between Pete and Ronnie.
We worked it out.
Well, I'm glad you did, but why in God's name would it even arise? Can you comprehend that your walk on a second by second, nanosecond by nanosecond basis is that you have lost and are losing the capacity to think that the condition you're in should be different than it is. And in that emptiness, I promise you that faith will worketh by love, because that's who he is. Otherwise, you are among those that transform yourself into apostles or into believers. And you're nothing but a muzzled dog. If he isn't able to transform me, then I am not interested in helping him. And people come here and came here because they thought they were going to learn how to do it right. And some of you are still in that place.
What, trying to do it right?
Thinking you're going to learn how to do it right.
Oh.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves. Instead of the transformation from the new creation, it's a transformation of themselves. By reading every how-to book that comes down the pike, by listening to every little ear-tickling message that you can find. Come back, Gary. Do I have anybody have any response? Do you really trust the Father, or are you still trying to transform yourself? Isn't it getting a little old? Can't you see by now that you're a liar from the beginning? And the best you can do is, if you happen to be very, very talented and a good actor or actress, you might be able to fool a few people. Transforming themselves, constantly looking for a new way of being, putting more clay on the golem, putting makeup on the clay. Remember, every man that hath, speaking of, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. It's not, the word there is, it's an automatic process. What you hear is what you see is what you become. Instead of transforming yourself. I don't care how hard a butterfly worked, it could never transform itself. I mean, a caterpillar could never transform itself into a butterfly. And I don't care how hard you work. In fact, I promise you, the harder you're working it, the less the mystery will be manifest in you. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought the condition that is reaching you at any given moment should be different than it is. Can you hear me?
You're transforming yourself. You see that you need to be different.
Right. And you can't do what we talked about yesterday. You can never be presented perfect in Christ Jesus.
Or other people try to change you.
It doesn't matter. They just... Those that desire to make a fair show in the flesh. There's one exception to that. There was one exception where, you probably don't want to hear this. There's one exception. When three people have to use a bathroom, you don't go in there and spend an hour and a half. That's not love. No, there's no exceptions to it.
There's a question here about not thinking anything different, but you respond to what is up there. You don't just back off saying, oh, well, that thing's...
I don't know what that means.
Well, you can go passive, say, well, things shouldn't be any different than they are, so I won't do anything.
That's right. I won't do anything ever again.
So you
sit in a corner.
No, so you respond. I mean, you do whatever said before you to do.
Well, but what that is, without there's no a priori. There's nothing beforehand that you have any idea what's going to happen next. We are not of those that have a form of godliness but deny his ability. As long as I am out of the way, and it may be that I do nothing.
Well, let's
it may be that I do not respond.
Ronnie's in the bathroom all morning and he's steaming.
Well, why didn't he go use... He could have easily have gone and used Betty's bathroom.
I did. But what said before him is to respond, he's pissed off.
So, well, I know.
So you deny being pissed off? So I shouldn't be this way. I better change the way I am. Because
no, no, no. All anger is frustrated greed. You repent. Just because you say something doesn't mean it's right. The only reason you say it is to show you more and more and more of your own evil. There's nothing. You remember when I first started to say that you say what's there, you say what's there, you say what's there. And then Larry would say what's there and he'd get in trouble. And I said, you say what's there not to be right. You say what's there so the truth about you can be seen by all. You commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And that way you can repent at the secret and inward parts. And the hidden part, he'll make you to know wisdom. Again, if I measure my words and decide when I'm going to say it, or if I respond just because of after the flesh, then all I'm doing is I'm transforming myself. There are no exceptions.
There's a point in here about when this thing happens, to me, transforming yourself is saying, well, I shouldn't be this way. I'm having a reaction, so I'm going to transform myself into a Christian not feeling this.
The conundrum herein is that no part of you is your business. And so if you get mad, you get mad.
And
you won't necessarily be right.
You don't have to be right, but you can express what's there.
And then you see how
and then you will... But it's not about the solution. You express what's there so you can see your own evil.
Yeah, you will see it at the end of it. You don't know what's going to happen.
No, but hear me. There's... Just do what's there. That's not even a rule. There's no rule. There's no rule in being. Again, say what's there. Say what's there. Say what's there. Prophesy. 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 Okay, the first thing I do, I prophesy, and you laugh at me. Does that sound familiar? So I'm not. I'll show that son of a bitch. I'm not going to prophesy. I'm not going to say anything more. I'll just sit here. Well, that's good. I want you to sit there until that word becomes a burning fire in you. I promised 100 times that I would never speak this message to myself. I made vow after vow after vow. Because every once in a while I'd say something and all hell would break loose. And I would never teach. I'd never consider teaching the Bible. And so for 5 years I was alone. But I couldn't do anything else. I'm not trying to parrot Jeremiah, but I mean, if I didn't speak, I'd explode. And I'm certainly not right every time I speak. I just speak. It's not my business anymore. No part of me is my own business. And that's what you have to see. There's no rule. You're dead. And every once in a while, you are going to raise the evil one from his deadly head wound. And he will appear in all his shining glory. And then you have to leave him behind again. But you can't get it right. You understand? Does everybody see that? John, I hear wheels turning.
A dawning or a revelation. I'm seeing when you tell me that my warfare is over because there are no more battles to be waged, not because I lay down my weapons and choose not to.
Right.
That's still not controlling the situation.
Amen.
I'm saying that.
It's huge.
I know.
You still have the arsenal. You're still that Japanese guy in the island 43 years after the war was over with your arsenal, and every once in a while a native pops his head up and you shoot at him. Well, eventually, in the mystery and economy of God, you will destroy the arsenal. You won't have a truce with somebody. You'll destroy the arsenal because you lost. And when you finally understand that you lost, that's why your warfare is over. You have signed, if you will, an unconditional surrender. But unfortunately, that's what presenting your body as a living sacrifice means. That's what you do in an unconditional surrender. But I never dreamed it. It cost me my life. What the hell? That's not it. But it cost you every part of your life.
I keep saying, in this regard, the rich young ruler, and he keeps anything, as long as he keeps anything, he's walking away from Christ.
Amen.
And of course, by extension, it's not just money.
Yeah, that's why I used to make fun of you for wanting to use your talent for Jesus. I haven't made fun of you lately about that, but it's a good thing you reminded me.
I like when the most talented guy in the community plays the keys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't play the piano, play the keys.
No, again, we have nothing to offer him except Christ. Christ is our only offering. He is our only life. He is our only talent. We're not getting anywhere.
You guys might want to try what we did down in the office, which is hot wiring the toilet seat.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. No big deal. It's expected. Now, I'm going to read through this. We'll study it tomorrow. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Now he's saying, please excuse me because I'm about to brag. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly. Ha! And talk about satire. Seeing yourselves are wise. For you suffer, or you let it, if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths, often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the brethren, by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities, my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed for evermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window, I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of my own self I will not glory, but in my infirmities. And he really didn't even glory in his infirmities. The only thing that happened is his infirmities reminded him, instead of trying to find a solution because something was wrong, it reminded him of his 100% dependence on the Father. And that's the only place that is the mind of Christ. There is no other. And all of these anxieties and plans and schemes and cunning devices and imaginations unending, they're just pure, outright rebellion.
Why did he throw in that little story about being let down in a basket?
Yeah, you'll have to ask him. I don't want to talk about that right now. Because it wasn't even the believers that let him down, probably. But I don't know. Anybody have any other response? Can you feel what I'm talking about? Is it? I don't want to just talk to your head. I promise you, the repentance has to go deeper than you ever dreamed of.
As this was being read, I kept saying, well, what's the point here? What's the point? There's a lot of information here, but I couldn't get the point. And I think what you said right here at the very end is about there's just one place, and it's that place of total dependence, which I think is the whole point.
That is the point.
Point.
Every other point is equally sinful.
Right. 1 degree off is off.
Remember hamachia, the word for sin? It's the exact micronic center of a bullseye. But it's an arrow that is shot that is so infinitely small that a billionth of a micron would be the same sin as being missing it by 5 miles. And there's only one that is without sin that hits the target from God's perspective, and that's Christ. It's not you. It's not anything about you. And the only way from this day and forevermore that you can be presented blameless, perfect, without spot, is the abandonment of self. Total abandonment. Disowning all of you, especially your thoughts and mind and emotion. But you can't do that until you've come to the end of it. If you still think there's some answer within you, then you will always, that's where you will go, because it's convenient. But if you know that you know that you know you are the chief of sinners, and that means Paul saw himself above Satan himself, as the chief of sinners. And there's nothing. It takes absolutely no talent to not depend on you. You know that whatever comes out of you is pure sin. You know that whatever doesn't come out of you is pure sin. You only can be the vessel for that pearl of great price. And you sell the field. Except He already bought it. But all this other stuff is just transforming yourself into an angel of light. And you do it yourself because you sit and consider. Anybody tried to follow your own mind? This is crazy. Well, I'll just pick this one little rotten grape and I'll eat that one. That's a good one. I hope Harry doesn't have any more rotten. I mean, any more. I hope all Harry's little ideas are now rotten. But especially, it's all the airy guys. It's something about having an R-Y at the end of your name. You're mad at me.
No.
Something's going on.
Thinking about the R-Y. Mystery in the R-Y.
There isn't any mystery. It's just pure evil. Take it, big guy. I'm out of here.